The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences. Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com. Am I a lucky guy or what? I did a show with Mike North this morning, and now I'm doing one with Greg Gabriel. Whoa, life is good. How are you, Greg?
I'm good.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you just finished up a podcast with our buddy Olin Kreutz, and I forgot his partner on that, the fullback. What was his
name?
Jason McHugh, one of the greats. He's been a guest on the Bar Room before. How did that go?
Great. About a 20-minute hit, and then, a little bit of old-time talking.
There you go.
Olin, back in the day, Olin used to always give me a lot of shit. And
tell people that story about him when you walked into the weight room and what he told.
Oh, it was more than once. It was a lot, I always went down to work out around 4:30. Mm-hmm. And Olin was a guy that would, first in, last out type guy. Mm-hmm. So before 4:35, he's still in the building. 95% of the players are gone. Mm-hmm. He might be working out or just fiddling around or whatever. So anyway, I go down there and I'm just getting ready to lift. And I hear, "Gabriel, get the fuck out of my weight room." And I just laughed at him.
That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. That is a great story. I could see and hear him doing that. And I've talked to members of the media who shared similar stories. There were a lot of media people who were afraid of him, just afraid.
Olin's a teddy bear. I got to tell him this Sunday. He really reminded me of my dad.
Oh, really?
My dad was a big guy and would scream and holler and swear and everything else, but inside he was a teddy bear.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. We've got a lot to cover here, Mr. Greg Gabriel. The Bears made their 53-man roster known, and they've been tinkering with it since. So by the time this show is over, who knows what it might look like, but we're going to cover it as is in real time, and I want to go position group by position group and get Greg's comments on every position group. So let us start with the quarterback position because, of course, we always start with the quarterback position, and the Bears are carrying three quarterbacks. Do you think this is going to last all season? What are your thoughts about three quarterbacks on the roster?
Yeah, I do, number one. I don't think any of those guys can go on Fields could go on the practice squad, but you'd have to cut him to go on the practice squad, and of course he did claim. I don't think Foles is eligible. I'm not sure because you have exemptions now with the 16-man roster, but a lot of it has to do with how much play time you've had in the past, and I don't know all the rules. Mm-hmm. But I think the only way – they get down to two. They're not going to cut Foles because of the contract. They just take too much of a hit. They could trade him, and then it becomes a push, and it doesn't cost them that much money. But who's going to want that contract?
Right.
So I think Nick is here for the entire year, and you can't take it away from Nick. Nick played damn well Saturday against Tennessee. I think the ball only hit the ground two times.
Yeah.
You know, and he played with poise, showed accuracy, made good decisions. And hey, you know, did he play good last year? No. Has he won a Super Bowl? Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, you put him in a situation like that off the bench, and that's he's been a star that way, you know, throughout the course of his career. So I think you're going to find Nick being here all year. And again, and I think it's strictly because of the contract.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before we talk about the running back room, this is what Ryan Pace said yesterday when he met the media about the running backs on the team.
We love the running back room. We love, you know, from Montgomery to Damian Williams to Khalil Herbert, to the guys we put on our practice squad. We think that room's the strength of our team.
What do you think about the running back room? Do you think it's a strength? I mean, those are pretty big words to say it's the strength of the team. Herbert, Montgomery, and Williams, what do you think?
No, I agree with them. It's there's a more speed than there has been, and when you get Cohen back, there'll be even more speed. Damian Williams can run, and Khalil Herbert can run. Montgomery plays faster than he times. I think he's a lot better shape. A lot less body fat. If you threw him into a bod pod, you'd see that he's probably 3 or 4% less body fat than he had when he was at the combine. He was a mid 4-5 guy then. He's probably a step faster than that now, but he's got a quick burst. I think they complement each other very, very well. I always liked Damian Williams. I don't think he's a great inside runner. But he's got cutback skills, excellent receiver out of the backfield, can get outside. He can get the home run. Herbert, I loved his tape from Virginia Tech. You know, he played on a terrible Kansas team for his first 3 years in college. He didn't put up the numbers that he put up at Virginia Tech last year. But he had a lot of home runs when he was at DPI. And nobody says DPI anymore either. Yeah. Yeah, I like that group. I'm kind of anxious to see what Herbert can do as a kickoff returner. Mm-hmm. You know, he did a good job in college. Hopefully, that'll carry over to the NFL game and where it's going to be tough to duplicate what Cordarrelle Patterson did. You know, if you can get 23-24 yard average out of him, he's done a great job.
Yeah. Hey, somebody in the chat room, Doug Dyer, is asking, would you mind giving a grade to each position group? Is that something you'd be comfortable doing?
Not now, because you haven't seen enough in the preseason.
Okay.
You know, we get to midseason. Could we do that? Yeah, but you know, I've stuck with this theme throughout the preseason, and that the way things are done in the NFL right now, it's more about individuals than team. Practice is about team. The preseason games that we see, it is more about individuals. And so you're really not seeing things come together as a team. And then like the wide receiver group, which you might put up next, we haven't even seen it. We've only seen backups, and a bunch of those guys are gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, Allen Robinson, you haven't seen him. I think, Mooney played one play mm-hmm. in the first preseason game, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely fair enough. So, Doug, circle November 15th. That's the day. That's the Monday after their bye week. And so Greg and I will probably then go through grades. Since we won't have a game to talk about, we'll go through grades and cover lots of other things. And before we go on to evaluating position group by position group, before we went live, we talked a little bit about, you actually mentioned that this will be the last time we'll likely hear from Ryan Pace until right. after the season. What is the protocol? What is the standard there? Why do the Bears and other general managers do that?
It's just a general protocol or feeling around the league that the head coach during the season is the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. He's the spokesman. And so they let him, or, you know, the GM is obviously very active with what goes on. But unless something catastrophic happens, you're not going to hear a word out of the GM. And that's standard across the league.
Yep.
Except for one guy, Jerry Jones. He can't help himself. But
he talks every Monday morning.
But he owns the team too. So, yeah. But you know, throughout Jerry, you'll very rarely hear a GM talk unless there's really something important to hit. Like I say, if they're going to fire a coach in the middle of the season, obviously you're going to be talking to the GM then. But outside of that, or maybe some really horrible injury or a big trade, you know, like Labor Day weekend 3 years ago, they had the Khalil Mack trade, you know, so that would give them a reason to speak. But after that, they're silent.
Hey, do you watch Hard Knocks?
No.
Oh,
I think it's bullshit.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lot of it's staged.
Well, I imagine some of it or all of it or good amount of it is staged. But there was a really great moment that they captured with Jerry Jones meeting the media, seated alongside Mike McCarthy. And Jones got really emotional talking about how much he loves the Cowboys and that there's no place he would rather be than there in camp with the Cowboys. He teared up. It was just such a genuine moment. And you can feel whatever you want about Jerry Jones, but he's a great guy and just an interesting figure. You agree with me?
Well, I think he's great for the league.
Mm-hmm.
He by himself changed a lot of things, the way things are done in the league as far as marketing and stuff. He was way ahead of the curve. And this is going back to when he first came in the league, 1989 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's made a lot of just his ideas has made a lot of money for the rest of the league and for other owners.
Yeah, he really is. He's quite the guy. So let's get back to our 53-man and look at the receivers now. There are five on the club, Damian Bird, Marquise Goodwin, Darnell Mooney, Breshad Perriman, just recently picked up, Allen Robinson, and Nasima Webster, another guy just picked up. Tell us what is going on here. People are upset that Rodney Adams is not on the 53.
Okay, well, let's hit Rodney Adams first. And I put this out in a tweet last night.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney Adams had an outstanding preseason. Based on that, you'd say, okay, he should make the team. But where is he on the depth chart? I don't care how good a preseason he had. He's five or six on the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
And five or six, got to be able to give you something on special teams. You go back and you watch those games and you see if he's in one play on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. And so that's why he'll be, I assume, going to be back on the practice squad this afternoon. Waivers ends at 3:00 Central Time today. So that's, if anybody's wondering, it's 11:45 right now. So we got another 3 hours and 15 minutes. If he clears waivers, I assume he's going to get one of those three spots, but we're not going to know it till then. Practice starts in an hour and a half. I assume, I'm not 100% sure of this, that you'll find out two other names by the time practice starts.
There you go. We've got a show tonight, Danny Shimon on Bear Truth, and so we'll cover the latest roster updates then. Let's get back to that wide receiver room with these five guys. Tell me what you think about them.
A lot of speed. More speed than I've ever seen in a Bears wide receiver group. Now, if you take their speed coming out of college, Bird, Goodwin, Darnell Mooney, Perriman, they're all sub 4.4 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Goodwin was an Olympic long jumper. That says enough right there. So, you know, he was a 27-foot long jumper at his best. Webster is a return guy. That's why he's here. You know, right now, he's going to be your number one punt return guy. I don't know if he does kickoffs, but he'll be the number one punt return guy. And I think to go back to a guy who was drafted, one of the reasons he was drafted was to do punt returns was Daz Newsome. But if you guys recall, Daz missed, I think it was the second day of OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
He broke his collarbone, had surgery, so he missed the rest of OTAs and mini camp, and then he missed the first couple weeks of camp. So he's behind. And yes, could you keep him as a punt returner? Probably, but at the same time, if you got to play him, I don't know if he's ready to step up to the plate and play from scrimmage right now. So he's on the practice squad. I think Webster's got a, you know, he's new. His numbers aren't that great as far as what he's done in the league, you know, the last couple of years as a returner, but he's better than what they have. And, it's just important that you have a good guy back there. More so just you got to have somebody be able to field the ball, that you can trust fielding the ball. If he gets yardage, that's a bonus.
Mm-hmm. People are asking, why was Perriman cut at Detroit? And their coach said that basically he had this hip injury, so he missed some time, and they just didn't see enough to feel comfortable to continue. And I think they lost $2 million on that cut, because when he signed his $2.5 million contract, Perriman did, it was $2 million was guaranteed. Now, the guy still has speed. The guy can run. I mean, I'll put up some highlights. What are your thoughts about Perriman? Can he help this team?
Yeah, I really liked him coming out. And I don't know what happened to Baltimore. Now, he was hurt his first year, so he was on IR the first year. But he never lived up to expectations with Baltimore after that first-year injury. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years, he's come on. In fact, right before we started the show, I looked up his numbers. He's got 66 receptions for better than a 17-yard average and 9 touchdowns over the last 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. So he's a big guy. He's a physical guy. You know, I think he weighed about 215 when he came out. He's probably over 220 now. He was a sub-4.3 guy coming out. Both his 40s were under 4. He didn't run at the combine. I don't remember why he didn't run, but at the Central Florida Pro Day, he ran like 4.27 and 4.28 or something like that. And, you know, jumped out of the building as far as the vertical and the long jump go. His athleticism is superior. They want a lot of speed on this team. Demir Bird's another guy who ran a sub-4.3 type guy. Mooney last year was a 4.36. Goodwin speaks for itself. They've got more speed than they've ever had on this team at the wide receiver position.
Great question from Adeptus. He asked, is the simple threat of so much speed enough to uncrowd the box and give the offensive line and Montgomery more room to operate?
They got to make some plays with that speed first. If it shows that they're a substantial threat early on in the season, yes, it will, because you're going to have to start doubling up some of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to tell you, just me personally, I am a little worried about the wide receivers, because there's just so much unknown. I mean, you've got two returning wide receivers in Mooney and Robinson, and then everyone else I've never seen in a Bears uniform before, other than the preseason games for a couple of these guys. So it is a big unknown, but hopefully that won't be a big issue.
Well, Bird, you know, had his best year as a pro last year in New England. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the year, he was one of their go-to guys. Mm-hmm. I think just watching him this year so far, I think his hands keep improving. He doesn't have very big hands. I think his hands were like 8 7/8, which is small, but hell, they got those stick'em gloves on anyway. Mm-hmm. But you know, just the threat of the speed that him and Goodwin and Mooney and those guys have, that's gotta loosen up coverage. And it's just something we haven't seen before. You know what Robinson can do. You know what Newsom can do. It's how are they going to utilize these other guys? Now, I'm going to say the same thing now as I said last year about the same time. I still think they're going to use two tight ends a lot. It's who are the two tight ends going to be? See, I think there's 5 on the roster now.
Yeah.
I think come next, week from Sunday, there's not going to be 5.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I mean, I like every one of those five guys: Graham, J.P. Holtz, Jesper Horsted, Jesse James, and Cole Kmet. But I'm with you there that, and come a couple of weeks from now, you may only see four tight ends on this roster. What do you think overall about the talent at tight end?
Like the wide receiver, like you, the questions you had about the wide receiver position, you could say the same thing about the tight end position. Cole Kmet came out in the second half of last year, played really good. Now, and generally speaking, guys in their second year take a big jump. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's playing with a lot more confidence. You know, you're hoping that he's going to be a guy that's going to catch 50, 60 balls. I thought, you know, there's a lot of people around here that wanted Jimmy Graham getting cut. I don't know why. The guy had a hell of a year last year.
I agree.
Okay. And not only did he have catches, he scored touchdowns. So he's never going to be a blocker. Mm-hmm. But that's why you brought in Jesse James. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, Jesse James and J.P. Holtz are the same guy. James is probably a little – he's bigger. And he probably a step faster than Holtz. And Holtz has had some injuries, and he hasn't played the last couple of preseason games. If somebody's the odd man out, maybe goes down on IR, I think it may be Holtz.
I would agree with that, and I also agree with Doug Dyer's comment here that they basically really have overhauled this offense. I mean, they have put together, like you said, a really speedy wide receiver room. And
look, it's speed all the way around. I mean, yeah, your running back room is faster too. Mm-hmm. When you figure Damian Williams can run now, mm-hmm, and so can Khalil Herbert. And so when you look at it across the board, and Horsted, I thought Horsted was going to make the team last year. Didn't, you know, based on what he did the year before. And just like the game he had Saturday, mm-hmm, in the final preseason game 2 years ago, he did the same thing. He didn't have three touchdowns, but he had a big game. And that was a game, if you recall, Kyle Brandt was doing the play-by-play, mm-hmm, as a guest commentator, because I don't remember who was doing the play-by-play back then. Not Amin, because he just started last year, but it was whoever did it the year before.
Yeah.
And he Rosen. What was the guy? And Rosen had a network responsibility, and they brought in Kyle Brandt to be like the guest play-by-play guy. And he's a Princeton grad, and Horsted's a Princeton grad. And so, you know, he was just going bonkers over this guy in that game. And there was people that thought he was going to make the team. So there was feelings 2 years ago, the same feelings that you had about Adams this year, there was about Horsted 2 years ago. And so, you know, people were surprised that he got caught, and he got brought up before the year was out. He was out in the active roster for a little while. And I think Adams is going to end up being on the active roster before the year is out. He's just not going to start off that way.
Yeah. Here's a Horsted making that one-handed catch. He really is. I mean, this guy was a wide receiver at Princeton, and they converted him to the tight end position. He really does have explosive skills, and we saw him score a touchdown in Detroit last season. So it's going to be hard, I think, to keep him off the field. He's a really interesting player who has developed under the Bears coaching staff.
Yeah, well, he's a natural receiver. He runs really well for a tight end. I couldn't tell you what his exact speed is. I don't know that. But it's fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy who ends up a year from now replacing Jimmy Graham.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I see that. All right, well, let's talk about the offensive linemen, because there's people in the chat room who are saying, well, what's the use of having all this speed if you don't have an offensive line that can protect the quarterback and enough time to get the ball deep to these guys? What are your feelings about the 9 offensive linemen currently on the roster?
Well, 9 is the normal number now, mm-hmm, you know, with a 53-man roster. You've got some versatility there, and that Bars can play anywhere. They can play all 5 positions, so that helps. Going back to the game last Saturday, especially the first series, Afedi, put it this way, Afedi Daniels and Jason was their first preseason action. Mm-hmm. And Jason had only been with the team for a week, you know, before that. Effetti was on PUP because of a hip flexor, and Daniels had another injury. So this was their first taste of action in a game, and they looked rusty. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not that – I thought as the game went on, Peters got better and better. Mm-hmm. Effetti, the main thing I saw with Effetti was that – and I was saying this on the podcast with Olin – is that his sets, his pass sets were off, and he was going a little bit too deep and turning his shoulders. And so, and when you turn your shoulders, you're giving up the outside right away. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of getting his sets down correctly. And that's part of practice time and doing some of the live one-on-one blocking things. Mm-hmm. And even better than that, you can go two defensive linemen against two offensive linemen and do some stunning with the defensive lineman. But I think once he gets his footwork down, he'll be fine. Because you go back to last year, his play at right tackle last year, when he got moved from guard to tackle, he played really good football. I'm not worried about him. I think, you know, when you go off a – he played a half and it's the first live action he's seen all year. So, yeah, you got a concern. I'm not as concerned as a lot of other people because, I mean, these guys are pros. They know how to do it, and it's like anything else. You need practice.
Yep. This is Ryan Pace talking about the offensive line.
But luckily, we feel like we do have some depth there, and even going back to last season, Dan, a lot of those guys had to play, which helped us. Juan, to me, is maybe the best developer of talent in the NFL, you know, and at his position, it's awesome. So, you know, we've put mid-round picks in there, late-round picks in there that have gotten a lot better because they've been forced to play a lot. So, and I think that's going to pay dividends. But with what we've done right now, I mean, Jason Peters, I think we were fortunate there, to be honest. But to see how far Larry Borum's come in, we got Effetti back, you know, Pig Simmons, Elijah Wilkinson, Alex Bars is versatile on the inside. The other thing I like with our offensive line is I feel like they've all really settled into their roles. You know, in the past, some of those guys have been moving around. Whitehair's had one of the best camps I think he's had. I think it's because he's been right there at left guard throughout. You know, what Sam provides at center with his intelligence, football IQ, getting this lined up, that's paid dividends. So we feel good about it.
Greg, how do you feel about Sam Mustipher? I get a lot of people in the chat room when we're talking Bears football, and a lot of people are not impressed with Sam because at the point of attack, he's driven back. I don't quite see it that bad for Sam Mustipher. I think he's smart. I think technical-wise, he's got all the tools to be a really good one. But what are your thoughts on Sam Mustipher?
Well, you know, I go with Olin on this one. And Olin thinks he's really good. And he last year was his first year playing. I think you're going to see a jump in his play this year. He is very, very smart. Now, he got a lot of experience playing at Notre Dame. He's a 3-year starter now. So he played a lot there. Played for Harry is almost his whole career at Notre Dame. And then his first year here in the practice squad, now he's with Juan. And I've worked with Juan before in Philadelphia. I know it and have admired him as a line coach for years and years and years. And I agree with what Ryan says, that he's a great developer of talent. Now, the best Jason Peters has played as a pro was under Juan Castillo in Philadelphia. People could be worried about him because he's 39. Until he proves different, I'm not worried. I'm not the pessimist that a lot of people here are. That's not my way of thinking. I'm always the glasses half full. Now, do I expect them to win out in L.A. in a week and a half? In all honesty, no. I expect them to give them a good game. That's going to be a tough situation. You're going cross country to play a game. First, it's actually the first regular season game in that stadium with fans. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be like the opening of the stadium. You know, it's going to be a tough environment to play in. I'm not worried about Stafford. Stafford might do some things in that offense that he never did in Detroit. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, Stafford's a freaking loser. I wrote it in my report when he was coming out of Georgia. That guy has never won in his whole career.
Wow.
Okay. Now, yeah, he had a winning record at Georgia, but he's surrounded with Rolls Royces, BMWs, and Mercedes at Georgia, and he couldn't win an SEC championship and was the number one pick in the draft. And how many times have you been to the playoffs with Detroit? And they say, well, Detroit didn't have any players around him. Well, he's supposed to be the player.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to make guys better.
Right.
He doesn't. He's got great skills, but he don't win.
Well, it's interesting to see what he will be under Sean McVay. Will he continue to be that player who seems more interested in piling up stats, or will he be a guy who can get his team into the playoffs? Hey, I want to play this soundbite for you regarding Larry Borum and Tevin Jenkins. Ryan Pace was asked, about the two, and Pace said that they had them graded very similarly.
Now, we had them graded close. We did, and I think, Larry played, he's lost a lot of weight since he played at Missouri. So now what I think you're seeing is a guy with a former basketball background, really athletic feet, playing almost 40 pounds lighter than he played in college and moving a lot better. So he's extremely talented. So to be honest, he probably has exceeded expectations a little bit because he looks so athletic with that weight loss. And I think he's shown his two mark that he can play on either side, which is only going to pay off going forward.
So if Peters has issues, conditioning, whatever, is Borum a legitimate candidate to start?
Yeah, he's legitimate. We like him. We like where he's at.
So if they have to play Larry Borum at left tackle, they're feeling comfortable about it. And your thoughts on that comfort level?
Yeah, I agree. I rewatching the game, I play the each offensive play over three or four times so I can watch the different offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And I don't worry necessarily about how they're playing with the guy next to them because, again, in preseason, I keep saying it's about individuals. He does not look out of place playing on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he make a mistake here and a mistake there? Yeah, sure he does. I don't care. Every rookie's going to do that. But athletically, he can easily play that position. And I'll go back. They did what I thought they would do. They kept Tevin on the 53 and then put him down on IR. That tells you that back surgery isn't as serious as some people wanted to make it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot him, he's dead. They're expecting him to play. Yeah, my guess is that he won't miss half the season. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to recall what Greg Gabriel told me about Tevin Jenkins and on the last show that we did, I'll just play what Ryan Pace said, because this is exactly what Greg told me a week ago.
We've always been really strict with our medical, probably more strict than ever this past year, especially with COVID and some of the restrictions that we had. So we took a ton of guys off our board for medical and character this past year. So we knew all about it. We were comfortable with it. And again, this is something, the symptoms were way different, and we feel like the issue's fixed. And hopefully it's something he can come back from this year. So we're excited about him going forward. We feel like the problem's solved.
Greg, he must have listened to you last week because he wrote down all those words, because that's almost exactly what you said last week about Tevin Jenkins.
Well, put it this way. We both don't have the same doctors. When you're doing the medical grade, the personnel department does not put the medical grade on the player. The medical staff does. Mm. Okay, and if you're not going to listen to your medical staff, then why have them? And if the medical staff says he's good to go, then he's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's really as simple as that. And people want to make these, absurd statements, negative statements, and it drives me nuts because they don't know or understand the process.
Mm-hmm.
you know, what it goes through. And I said this too in the last show. You could have two medical staffs that differ on their opinion. And maybe that's why they say they practice medicine. You know, because it's not a definitive thing. But, you know, I've seen guys that we flunked that get drafted in the second round by another team, or even the first round by another team. And sometimes they only end up playing 2 or 3 years. And you go back and you go, he was right. You know, and it depends what the condition is.
Yeah.
You know, and I just know that the Bears doctors, when it comes to arthritic conditions, they kill a guy because that's never going to get better.
All right. We move forward with the offense.
Let's say one other thing. The one guy I really think has a bright future is Simmons. I think didn't Ryan call him, if I'm not mistaken, Pig Simmons?
Yes, he did.
I like that. I think he really showed well in the preseason.
Seventh round draft pick, if I recall.
Him and
Arlington Hambright.
Yeah, Hambright were seventh round picks. Simmons, you know, played at a lot lower level of comp at Tennessee State. And he moved all over the place at Tennessee State. You watch the tape, he's playing guard, he's playing tackle, he's playing right side, he's playing left side. So now he's settling in at right tackle. I think he's got a bright future. Right. And he could end up being, you know, down the road, you could end up seeing him at guard, or maybe Borm at guard, or something like that. And Jenkins will be a tackle. You know, you might see Simmons, one of the guards, and Borum and Tevin Jenkins, the two tackles, Mustafa for the center. And, you know, there's going to be a point where, and I'm throwing a dart at the wall here, white hair is going to be costing a little too much money, and you're going to have to replace him.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have, you know, there's going to come a time down the road when you're going to have to pay Justin Fields.
Yep.
And that price, like, the contract Josh Allen got, by the time that Fields hits that, it's going to be a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Roquan Smith, we're going to talk about the defense
right
second here.
He's got to get paid next year.
Yeah, and that I foresee that's going to be a very difficult contract negotiation, because right now Roquan Smith is his own agent, and usually that doesn't work out very well. That's got to change. Roquan, get an agent. You got a good agent you can recommend?
There's guys who've done it and got really good contracts for themselves.
Okay,
and you get help from the players' union.
Oh, that's right.
You get the guidelines. This is what, you know, guy in such and such a year should be making. These are the top contracts for guys with your ability in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part is that when you go in and sit down, you got to hear the negatives.
Yeah,
and it's never personal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's like the Godfather. It's only business. You know.
Herney asks, is he a restricted free agent at the end of this year? I don't know if he. I think he's unrestricted at the end of this year.
He's in his fourth year, right?
He's in his fourth year now.
Okay, then they got the fifth. They got the fifth year
option
next year,
okay,
which, you know, it jumps up quite a bit.
Yes, it does.
And in some cases, if you do a new contract,
mm-hmm,
you actually lower the cap number,
right,
by restructuring the contract because of the bonus money you can give them.
There you go. All right, now let's look at the defense. A defensive lineman, Angelo Blackson, Eddie Goldman, Akeem Hicks, Bilal Nichols, and Kyrese Tonga. Ryan Pace said that the running back room is the strength of the team. I would say that the defensive linemen are going to give those running backs a run for their money. I really love this group.
Well, I like the starting three in Goldman, Hicks, and Bilal Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
Blackson has played good. You know, we didn't see a whole lot in the preseason because of how they use the guys.
Right.
He's always been a rotational player. He started a lot of games, but he still played in rotation. That's what he's going to be here. He can play the five. He can play the nose. Tonga, I think, is strictly a nose.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what they do, you know, when Mario comes back in 2 weeks, do they, you know, because they've often gone with just five linemen the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally speaking, you're playing sub defense most of the time. You only got two defensive linemen on the field
right.
for a high percentage of the plays. And so Tonga could be cut and then put on the practice squad.
Right.
You know, they got him real late. His arm measurement wasn't ideal. Guy's strong as an ox, though, and he gets a good push. And he plays really hard. So, you know, I don't think you'd have a problem getting him through waivers if you had to cut him 2 weeks from now. But that'll be interesting because do they still have five tight ends when Mario's got to come back? Then one of those tight ends is going and they go with six defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And we go to the next position. You're a little bit overloaded there at inside linebacker, too.
Mm-hmm. And you're overloaded there because of Danny Trevathan has been put on IR, so they probably wanted a little depth there. Who do you think is going to be released when Danny T returns, hopefully in a few weeks?
My guy to be released on that group would be Josh Woods.
Yeah, he's been disappointing at times. He really
I just think he's got limitations, but he plays well on special teams.
Yep.
But you know, you notice the guy I've been jumping on the table for the last month is still there.
I know what you're gonna say Caleb Johnson. Yes, indeed. I like him.
Yeah, the old man still knows what he's talking about.
I love it. Any concerns at all with this inside linebacker group? Other than, of course, Danny T not playing the first several games.
I hope what we saw from Ogletree in preseason isn't a mirage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go back to his first couple years in L.A., and that's what we saw here. He was great. And then, and I don't know the reason, his play just fell off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but he still got some money from the Giants to go there, and they ended up getting rid of him, I think, after 1 year, you know, and he's bounced around a little bit, but he's come back. He has shown in the past that he can play, and maybe he just knows it's last chance you right now, and he's got to play good or he's gone.
Yep.
But if he's on his game, that inside group got better.
Mm.
The guy that surprised me in the preseason, because I was ready to write him off, was Iyebunuwe.
Joel Iyebunuwe had an excellent game three. Looking so good in the first two. Yeah,
and he's played another guy that's played well on teams, and you can't that. You know, people don't notice that, but when you get into putting the team together.
Mm-hmm.
As special teams, you know, Chris Tabor, he starts jumping on the table. I got to have this guy. I got to have this guy. I got to have this guy.
Yep.
And you, and I think I said this before, you're going to have a lesser talented guy cut because, or a more talented guy cut because of that guy who produces on special teams.
That is so important for you to say and for people to hear. For instance, the wide receiver that was cut, Adams.
Adams.
It has to do with special teams.
Yeah, Adams, I said it when we talked about the wide receiver group.
Yes,
you did. He was not playing on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
As good as he was still, you know, he made plays in preseason and was probably arguably the best receiver in preseason. But then at the same time, none of those guys in front of him were playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was at best the fifth receiver on this team. And as five or as six, you have to be able to play teams.
I want to put up this comment from Alex Sims. He says, Tonga looked great in preseason. I don't know if he'll clear waivers, especially injuries that could happen in the league, could make him even more attractive. And there's no doubt that he is going to look attractive to some teams if he is put on waivers. But don't a lot of general managers and coaches kind of fall in love with their own players and are hesitant sometimes to bring in somebody else from another team because you got to teach them the playbook, the culture, and so forth? And with 16 practice squad spots, it's pretty likely you're going to have some defensive linemen stashed in there. And wouldn't they rather go there first than pick up somebody from another team?
Well, yeah, and I'll say this. Where do you get drafted? How many teams already said no during the year?
Excellent.
You know, back in April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, did he do enough in the preseason to overcome where he was drafted?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, especially with first and second year guys, when they hit waivers, the first thing you're looking at isn't necessarily the tape they did during preseason. It's the college report. And if they said no in April, why are they going to say yes now?
Mm-hmm. Good point. And Herney has a really good point here, or question, whatever you want to call it. They should prioritize the nose tackle in this defensive scheme. What say you to that?
No. Because of it, you very rarely are playing your base 3-4 package. Right. You know, first and 10, you're doing it. But when you got when the offense is coming out with three wides,
mm-hmm.
you're playing nickel. And when you're playing nickel, you've got two interior defensive linemen on the field, not the nose. Mm-hmm. Now, Eddie can play as one of those two interior guys. He's athletic enough. You know, when he first came out, he really couldn't do that. He's more of a 340-pound guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now he's 320. And he can play that. Well, he's not a dominant pass rusher by any means. He gets a good push.
Mm-hmm.
You're still only going to see him. If you look at the total number of downs he plays in any given year, throughout last year, obviously, because he wasn't here, he probably gets the least snaps of the starters. So it's the way the game's being played. It's not the scheme. Okay. And the scheme is the, you know, the way when Vic was calling it, and even the last 2 years when they were calling it, you were up around 75-80% in your sub package. So if you're 75-80% in your sub package, that it really is your base package.
Right.
And right. That's playing two interior linemen.
Lots of great thoughts and opinions in the chat room. I'm sorry I can't share them all. We've got to move on. And this is a perfect segue to talk about what's going on in the outside linebacker group and the cornerbacks and safeties. So let's look at that OLB position first. You got four guys in the room: Jeremiah Atoshu, Trevis Gibson, who I'm really high on, and of course the veterans Mack and Quinn. Your thoughts on the OLBs?
I like the group a lot. I really like Gibson when they drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
A little raw, but you saw the tools. Mm-hmm. And now, having been in the league for a year, you can see. I keep going back. You see that jump the second year? He's having that second year jump.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to get a lot more play time. Wouldn't shock me if he ends up being your starter midway through the year. You know, but they're still going to play regardless if he's your starter or not.
Right.
Mac's going to get the most number of snaps, but he's getting rested too. Yeah. They're all four of those guys are going to play every game.
Totally agree with you. I went to Family Fest, the Bears scrimmage with Danny Shim, and Danny pointed out Gibson to me, and he said, "You see that body? He didn't look that way last year. That's an off season and of NFL training, and he does look like he's added like 20 pounds of muscle. I don't know if it's 20 pounds of muscle or whatever, but he just looks much more of an NFL backer now. And that off season, it looked like he went to work. So good for him and good for the Bears."
You know, there's one fallacy about him. I mean, he's redistributed his weight a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was coming out, he did 26 reps. in the bench. That's a better than a 400 pound. It's equivalent to better than a 400 pound bench.
Mm-hmm.
He did not lack strength.
Interesting.
At least in the upper body.
Right.
Okay. Now could he have increased his lower body strength in the last year? Yeah. And then also lowered his body fat and gotten stronger. Yeah, he could have done that too. But the one thing he didn't do is lack upper body strength.
There you go. All right, let's talk about the defensive backs, starting with the corners. Six of them on the roster. Artie Burns and Marquis Christian are new additions. They were cut and then brought back. Xavier Crawford, Jalen Johnson, Duke Shelley, and Kendall Vildor. There's a lot of, in my opinion, promise on this cornerback, in this cornerback room, but they've got a lot to prove, don't they?
Yeah, and they got a lot to prove because nobody in that group has played a lot for the Chicago Bears, including Jalen. I mean, Jalen has played the most as a second-round pick last year. I am personally pretty high on Kendall Vildor. I go back to his college tape, which was outstanding as far as physicality, ball skills, hands, that type of thing, ability to break on the ball. Still, he got to do it at the NFL level. Artie Burns, former first-round pick. He's been a starter in the league. Should he have been a first? Probably not, looking in hindsight. But he's not a guy you want to just throw on the scrap pile. I don't know that much. Crawford, every once in a while, because he was a low-round guy and went to Central Michigan, you want to write him off, but he jumps out at you every once in a while. And another guy that's very, very athletic. The only guy, the guy that I'm least high on, and he's actually started to jump out last week in the game, is Duke Shelley. And the only reason I'm not as high as maybe some of the coaches are is I don't like small defensive backs.
You've mentioned that before.
Okay. He's not even 5'9". He's like 5'8¾". And he's got some arm length, but still, unless you're playing against a 5'10 slot guy, you're at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he showed some toughness Saturday, and he sticks his head in there, made some plays in the run game. So I can't take that away from him. That's just my own prejudice that I'd rather have a bigger guy in there. I think that when you look at the group as a whole, it's probably the weak link on this team. But is it going to be a detriment to the team? I don't have the answer to that. I want to, I can't answer that stuff. I don't count preseason, as I said before. I want to see what they do when the bullets are live.
There you go. Lots of talks on social media and in the chat room about Bryce Callahan. Alex Sims is the latest to mention it. Says that Benjamin Albright says the Broncos are taking calls on Bryce Callahan. The Bears are one of them who have called. Would you, Greg, make the trade to bring Bryce Callahan back?
No.
Why?
He's always getting hurt.
He does have an injury history. That portfolio of injuries is.
He's making a ton of money and he always gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think
he's another little guy like Duke Shelley.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
Be a half inch taller.
Yeah. I would love to hear what Sean Desai has to say about that. I bet that Sean Desai really likes him a lot, but yeah, I'm sure the injury concerns is first and foremost.
Well, and why does he have all these injuries? Because he's a little tiny guy.
That's right.
little guys get beat up.
Yeah.
I was a little guy. I was a little running back. I got the shit kicked out of me. I've had 10 surgeries to tell you about it. I mean,
And speaking of little guys that get injured, the Tariq Cohen situation is concerning to me. First of all, the Bears won't reveal how many scopes he's had, which, okay, that's fine. But, you know, if they say we prefer not to talk about that, it's probably more than two.
Okay, I got an answer to that. I don't know what is going on. Mm-hmm. Okay, just hypothetical. They said he had another, quote, surgery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nobody's admitted to it or hasn't admitted to it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know this from, because we talk a lot, but, you know, I had my knee replaced, and that's a lot more serious than having an ACL surgery last November. In January, I had to have a manipulation done because I just didn't have the range of motion that you should be getting, and that's because I have a tendency to build up a lot of scar tissue. Technically, that manipulation was called a surgery. There was no incision.
Gotcha.
All they did is put me out, take my leg and go, and, you know, it takes a couple minutes. Could he have had a scar tissue issue that was hurting range of motion and movement skills? Maybe. But I don't think it's as big a deal. He's not a year out yet. When do you hear it? Third game?
Third, yes.
Okay, so he's still a month away from being a year out from that surgery. I don't think they had any choice but to keep him on PUP, because in order to come off PUP during the preseason, you got to be able to pass the physical. Mm-hmm. And technically, you can't pass the physical. So, you had no choice but to keep him on PUP. And I think with a player like him, you're much better off playing it, you know, being cautious with it and go out that extra few weeks and have him miss six games than bring him back too early.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, I think there's a good chance Bryce Callahan is going to be cut. And so wouldn't that be, if you're entertaining acquiring Callahan, why don't you just want to wait for that to happen? Because I don't think any team is going to trade for him in that salary. I just don't.
No, he's making what, $6 million?
Yeah, exactly. So
I want to use a word. I can't use it because it's, you know, we're in the politically correct and incorrect mode and all that other stuff. So, you know, I probably get blackballed and canceled.
Does it rhyme with Muffy?
So, you know, but you can.
I love this show. All right, let's talk about the safeties and get ourselves out of trouble. It is looking like Deion Bush, DeAndre Houston Carson, Tayshawn Gibson Sr., and Eddie Jackson are the four safeties for the season. I don't anticipate there being any changes there unless there's an injury. I feel good about this group. I love the fact that Jackson, for the only the second time in his career, gets to have a returning safety play alongside him. That is huge.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty good group. Mm-hmm. And I think that you go back to Vic's scheme, it was more left corner, right corner, than strong free. Mm-hmm. And I haven't paid that much attention yet in the preseason of what Sean is doing, but I think he's going back to what Vic did. And I could be totally wrong here, mm-hmm. where it's left and right versus strong and free, which means you're really playing kind of both depending on the formation, etc. I think that's going to help him make more plays this year.
Yeah. Jimmy Moreland is available. Alex Sims brings him up, and Danny Shimon on social media brought his name up.
I think he got re-signed today.
Okay, so he's probably
Didn't Detroit have him or somebody had? I think this morning I saw him get.
Let me see if I can again. Look that up really quickly. Jimmy Moreland. He was at SIU, was it?
I don't remember, but I think I thought I saw this morning that whoever caught him brought him back.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
And I may be wrong. It just kind of rings a bell.
Yeah, he's still available according to what I'm seeing on social media. But if he is available, do you recall scouting him and what you saw in Jimmy Moore?
No, I don't remember that much about him. It could be a guy. Like I say, you got a week and a half before the first game.
Mm-hmm.
There still might be three or four more changes on this team.
Absolutely.
You could bring guys in for workouts, like what you see for the workout. Now, by league rule, the next three, they're practicing. They start practice in another hour, and then they have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. That's across the league.
Okay.
With the players, but you can bring a guy in to work them out.
Right.
And make a decision and sign them. Part of the thing is too, though, if the guy's vaccinated, I think, and I'm not 100% sure on all these rules.
Okay.
But if a guy's vaccinated, he can go from team A to team B without having to go through a 5-day waiting period or whatever.
Right.
If he's unvaccinated, he's got to quarantine for 5 days before he can start up with the new team. Okay. So some of that's going to play into it with some of these player moves around the league.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the practice squad. They still have three slots available. Last time I looked, they picked up Azusa. Yeah. Oh, man, I knew I was going
to
screw that up.
Yeah, I tried to pronounce that name. Forget it.
Alufahi, I think I got the last name right. He's a defensive lineman. I really don't know much about him. You want to interrupt me as soon as you
I'll open the list? I don't know much about him either, but he's big. He's like 6'4", 320, and he's played in the league. Big body that can play the five and play over the nose.
Isaiah Coulter was brought in last week. He saw some playing time and played pretty well. And I had a feeling he was going to make the practice squad, because why else bring in a wide receiver the week before cuts and give him immediate playing time if you're not already really interested in him?
They had a good book on him coming in. That's why they put a claim in on him last week. Mm-hmm. And they want to get a look at him. Mm-hmm. Whether he sticks around, that's going to be, up to the coaching staff as they get a better feel for him. He's only been around this is the second week here. So, you know, could it be a long-term stay or a short-term stay? We'll find out. Now, generally speaking, you're going to see some flipping out in a practice squad during the course of the year.
Yeah.
And there might be eight or nine guys that are constant, and then you're flipping out some of the others and you're keeping those guys in town. And so they're always getting a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it too depends on when you cut them, you know, from the practice squad or from the 53, because if they're on the team on Wednesday, they're getting paid.
Yep. Like for Ryan Nall, I'm sure he'll see playing time in the 2021 season just because of his special teams prowess. And you never know if they might need just a backup running back position because somebody might get nicked up or something like that. And Artavius Pierce, somebody that you like a lot, is somebody that might see some playing time during the season.
And Charles Snowden, I like what he did in the preseason. I just think he's got to get stronger. Got to mm-hmm. get a little bigger and stronger.
Yep.
Could he come, you know, could they bring him up if somebody gets hurt? Yeah, of course they could. But I think he's more of a developmental type guy. But he does play hard. I've never been a Tease Tabor fan, and it's only because he didn't run good. But they got him at safety now. And the speed isn't as important at that position at safety than it was. You know, he was a corner in college, and he was a corner when I think Detroit drafted him in the second round, and that's why he failed. He's just too damn slow to play corner.
Mm. And of course, the two draft picks, Thomas Graham, Daz Newsome, it's not a big surprise that they went on the practice squad given the injury history, and not injury history, but the circumstances of their preseason. And I'm not shocked at all that they weren't claimed. So anything else regarding this
problem? Well, Dad, in Daz's case, and I don't remember if I touched on this, you know, he got hurt in OTAs.
Right.
Okay, so he missed, and that was like the second day of OTAs. Mm-hmm. So he missed all of OTAs, missed mini camp, and he missed the first couple weeks of camp.
Mm-hmm.
He was on PUP for the first couple weeks of camp. So he's behind.
Right.
They got to give him, you know, he's got to catch up, and that's what he's going to do on the practice squad. Now, he flashed. He had that one catch where he made that quick stutter step to make the guy miss and pick up about 10 or 12 yards after the catch.
Beautiful.
Last week.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that shows you some of the stuff. If you go back to the draft, when they drafted him, what they talked about was his ability to get yardage after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that on that one particular play. I think that if he was fully up to speed and they could trust him at the wide receiver position, if he had a play, that he might have had that punt return slash receiver role that Wallace has.
Mm-hmm.
But because he missed so much time, I think they feel more comfortable putting him on the practice squad right now.
What can you tell us about Sam Kamara? A lot of people in the chat room are commenting on him. He's 6'2", 275-pound linebacker. Made some flash plays in the preseason. Do you like him?
He's a tweener. You know, he played down.
Mm-hmm.
In college, I think he went to Stony Brook, you know, which is a lower level of comp. Plays hard, but, you know, he was really playing up and down for the Bears in the preseason. He wasn't strictly an outside guy. And I think that's one of the reasons they kept him on the practice squad, because you can use him in two different positions. You can use him at the five. You can, even though he's a little small for the five, you can use him as an inside guy when you get into sub packages, or you can play him outside. He's got the quickness and the first step quickness to give you some outside pass rush. You know, whether he's got the upside to ever make the team, I think that's a question. But as a practice squad guy, he's fine.
I want to play this soundbite from Ryan Pace's press conference yesterday being Wednesday. This is him talking about the overall depth on the team.
This is one of the hardest cuts we've had, you know, and I go back to kind of what I'm excited about. It starts with our coaching staff, really excited about the coaching staff, but just the talent we've naturally built throughout. And I was just talking to scouts about that as we were looking at some of these guys we could claim. And, you know, it's kind of nice in the past, you look out there and we're talking about claiming, you know, 5-6 guys, and we weren't in that position this year. And I think it's because we've built up talent throughout our team, a lot of depth throughout our team, a lot of competition throughout our team. So, you know, inevitably when injuries occur, anything happens, I feel like we're ready for that this season.
I played that because I wanted to ask you that question. Now that we've looked at the 53, we've looked at the current state of the practice squad, how do you feel about the depth of this team?
Well, I'll say this. If I was in his shoes and I'm making those statements, that tells me that he and the coaching staff, because it's a joint decision. He's not the guy. He's got final say on the 53, but he's not going to force somebody on everybody. You just can't. That doesn't work. That tells me that the staff as a whole, be it the front office and the coaching staff together, think more highly of this roster than, say, a bunch in the media. Mm-hmm. But they're around these guys 24/7.
Right.
Okay. And the media as a whole in Chicago has always been very skeptical and cynical. At least that's what my 20 years in Chicago has shown me. And so, you know, they load you up with the negative instead of being the positive. I just like being the positive guy. That's my nature. And so, you know, until they prove me wrong, that's what I'm going to be. Is this a great team? I don't know yet. You know, you didn't see enough in preseason from any team to say they're going to be good, bad, or indifferent, because there's teams I've seen in the preseason steamroll everybody and then win two games, you know, during when the regular season starts. And conversely, there's been teams that look horrible in the preseason and then come out and be a playoff team and win a game in the playoffs. So you can't put any stock in what you saw in the preseason. And it's really what we're going to see once the ball kicks off in another week and a half.
Greg, are we doing a show next week?
Sure, why not?
All right, I love that.
Because there might, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some more roster changes between now and then.
Yeah.
And also, I'll tell you an advantage to for the front office, having the cut on Tuesday versus Saturday. Guys like Ryan Pace can go out to college games this week. They're locked, always locked in. In fact, I tweeted out right before the show started. I said, Labor Day weekend, I always went to three games. It's usually a Thursday night game, a Friday night game. And for years, Michigan State's playing at Northwestern tomorrow night. But usually Michigan State is playing at home on Friday night, Labor Day weekend.
Right.
So I'd always go there. I'd go somewhere on Thursday and then drive back from Michigan State, be in the office on Saturday morning for the cuts, and then Sunday fly out and either go to the Sunday night game or the Monday game, because there's always a game on Monday.
Right.
And that way for years. But now I know, like Brandon Bean talked about at his press conference yesterday, Bill's press conference. He said he's going to five games this weekend. Be the first time in years that he's gone to games Labor Day weekend. You know, and I think, and that's going to be the same across the board. And that's just going to help teams come next April, because your decision makers are getting out a week earlier than they usually do. And in fact, last year, they couldn't go out. They weren't allowed out because of the COVID rules.
All right. The most important question I'm going to ask you for this entire show. Sunday night, Notre Dame at Florida State. Notre Dame is giving 7.5 points. You think I should bet on the Fighting Irish, my favorite college football team?
Well, they're one of my favorites too, and Florida State was horrible last year. And that program isn't anywhere near what it used to be. When Bobby Bowden was there and then Jimbo after that. But still, it's an opener and a tough place. I've probably been to games there at least a half a dozen times, maybe more. And, you know, it's a tough place to play. I think Notre Dame could win big, but at the same time, it's on the road and it's an opener. And they got a new quarterback. Even though he was a starter at Wisconsin 2 years ago, he got hurt last year. That might be a game I'd, from a betting standpoint, I'd stay away from.
Yeah, I'm always a little bit nervous about those road games like that. Last question. Do you want to share a story about you?
Me, what?
You and Phil Emery met once at the
Senior
Bowl. You don't want to share that story?
No, that's private.
That's private. I will not share it with anyone, but it won't be the last time I'll ask you during this season of shows.
let bygones be bygones.
Okay. Greg, I really, really enjoy doing this show with you. I learned so much, and apparently people in the chat room agree. They're learning too and love to hear your opinions on things. So we will be back next week. We'll pick a day that's convenient for us. Obviously, we can't on Monday. It's Labor Day, but we'll pick a day, maybe even a week from today. We can do it again. And then during the regular season, we will be on the day after the Bears game, and Greg will give us detailed review on the performance of the Bears and give us a quick preview of the upcoming opponent. Greg, anything you want to say before we say goodbye?
No, I think we're good.
All right, then. Thanks, Greg, and thank you all for listening live. And make sure you let your friends know that this show is archived on the Barroom Network YouTube channel. It can also be found in audio podcast version wherever you get your podcasts. Goodbye, everybody.
We'll be right back.